opportunity to hear from God and the words that He has prepared for us. As we begin, we ask for God to bless and intervene in whatever manner He wants for this message. So if you would please join me in prayer. Thank you, Jesus, for your presence. We ask for your intervention in any way you choose to say the words you want. We ask that you allow the hearing to hear exactly what each one needs to hear and what you desire for them to have. We thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Today's message is titled The Three Rights, or if you're one of the mathematicians, Rights Cubed. Looking back at last week, as we think about Philippians, in chapter 3, Paul exhorts followers of Jesus to live out their true identity, which is our inclusion by grace in Jesus, to love life. Philippians 4, Paul exhorts them to stand firm. Remember that Paul has been writing this book from a prison cell in Rome, chained to a guard. Today's text is going to be Philippians 4, verses 1 through 9. I will be using the Passion Translation as we go through these. Verse 1, my dear and precious friends, whom I deeply love, you have truly become my glorious joy and crown of reward. You arise in the fullness of your union with our Lord. Commentaries refer to Philippians as one of the happiest books in the Bible. And this is Paul sharing how much he appreciates this congregation as they have tended to his needs in various forms. But he goes on in verse 2, I plead with you, Eudora and with Syntyche, to settle their disagreement and be restored with one mind in the Lord. Paul mentions two female leaders who are in the midst of a serious argument. Verse 3, I would like my dear friend and burden bearer to help resolve this issue, for both women have diligently labored with me for the prize and helped in spreading the revelation of the gospel along with Clement and with the rest of my co-workers. All of their names are written in the book of life. So the disagreement wasn't anything to do with that. They are assured of where their name is in the book of life. We don't know exactly what that disagreement is, but it's something serious that Paul, as a prisoner, is writing and asking them to please, let's get through this. Let's work it out. These women had a history of working together for the cause of the gospel. Paul is pleading with them to agree with each other in the Lord. Paul then calls upon another leader, the one he referred to as a burden bearer, to help these two women resolve their differences, not within their own self or own will, but in the will and desires of the Lord. Verse 4. Be cheerful with joyous celebration in every season of life. Let joy overflow, for you are united with the anointed one. Let gentleness be seen in every relationship, for our Lord is ever near. Verse 4 talks about rejoice in the Lord always. Verse 5 talks about Jesus is present with us at all times. Our behavior should reflect that. Do we stop and think about Jesus is present with us at all times? There's never a time that Jesus is not with us. How might that change your world? Something to think about, maybe even pray about. Philippians 4 and verse 6. Don't be pulled in different directions or worried about a thing. Be saturated in prayer throughout each day, offering your faith-filled requests before God with overflowing gratitude. Tell Him every detail of your life. Many of you may have read this in a different translation, and it talks about don't be anxious. And anxious is actually translated, as it is in this translation, to be pulled in different directions. And that can be incredibly stressful when you feel the pulls to go this way or that way. And as a result, many times worry sets in. And he talks about, don't worry about a thing. He ends this verse with, tell him every detail of your life, even the little things, the small things. If it's something that is causing you to worry or think about, God wants to know. He wants you to share that with him. Allow that to be there. Tell him every detail. We go on and we'll refer to the word worry. It can be translated to strangle. Worry has a debilitating emotional and physical consequences. It can destroy your health. You can have ulcers, any number of different things, high blood pressure. All of these things come from excessive worry, or they are a contributing factor. When you worry, or that strangle, it can be squeezed or constricted. In my world, I've always used the analogy of being in a vise and someone is twisting that vise, and those jaws are just squeezing me tighter and tighter. And literally, it can strangle the life and certainly the joy right out of you. So we need to stop worrying. And that is so easy to say, but when we think about the money runs out before the month runs out, or our health issues become more of an issue, we're faced with what to do. What do I do next? Currently in this world, maybe you're furloughed or out of a job. And the question is, what next? What do I do? And you become worried. Simply tell ourselves, quit worrying doesn't work well for me. And I have a hunch that most people, if they just tell themselves to stop worrying, doesn't really change things. Victory over worry is attainable. And we're going to talk the rest of this. Paul is going to reference things to look at and think about. Verse 7, God's wonderful peace that transcends human understanding will make the answers known to you through Jesus Christ. So instead of worrying about what those answers might be, he's talking about those answers are already known to Jesus. And God's answers are always the best answers. The antidote to worry is to share actively by the Holy Spirit the thinking and living of Jesus. The antidote to worry is to share Jesus. Sounds simple, but sometimes it's a little difficult to do. Paul gives us three spiritual disciplines, or three strategies, our response to the grace of God, all having to do with going deeper in our communion with Father, Son, and Spirit. He gives those three: right praying, right thinking, and right living. Those three rights, or rights cubed. The first one is from chapter 4 and verses 6 and 7. Right praying. Don't be pulled in different directions or worried about a thing. Be saturated in prayer throughout each day, offering your faith-filled requests before God with overflowing gratitude. Tell him every detail of your life. Then God's wonderful peace that transcends human understanding will make the answers known to you through Jesus Christ. So those answers can be found. They can be shared. You can seek and learn them. Paul doesn't just say, pray about it. He gives us three aspects of that right praying: intimate, prayerful communion with God, petitioning, and thanksgiving. The first one, or A, prayer, worshiping God in adoration. That is deep love and respect. So prayer, worshiping God in deep love and respect. When we find ourselves worrying, our first action ought to seek some time alone with God and worship Him. Boy, that's a tough one. When worry really kicks in, your mind says, what do I gotta do? What do I need to do? How do I need to fix this or do that? Our first action is finding time alone with God. Worship Him. This act of surrender turns our minds and our hearts to God's greatness and majesty. It redirects our focus from our worry to God's greatness and majesty. This reminds us that God is bigger than our problems. Because of anxiety, we often rush in His presence and spew out our needs. We start this rapid fire of this and this and that, and how do I do this, and how can I deal with that? And you just go on, and it's just almost like a rapid fire words coming continually out. Slow down. Boy, that's hard. Slow down. Approach God in His throne, giving Him honor and gratitude. When we are anxious, we don't want to slow down. We need answers right now, and that's how we approach it. The second aspect of intimate, prayerful communion with God, petition, earnest, prayerful sharing with God our needs and problems. Earnest is showing sincere and intense conviction. We are not heard because of many words. Our Father wants us to be earnest, showing sincere and intense conviction in asking. You can look as a reference of Matthew 7:1-11. Jesus brought His petitions with great fervor to His Father in the garden. Drops of blood are reported in that, as He was so intense in sharing with His Father. Petition is not a matter of carnal energy, but of spiritual intensity. As worried and as shook up and as intense as we get, if we can redirect, if we allow God to redirect that to spiritual intensity, changes everything. The third aspect of intimate prayerful communion with God, the letter C, thanksgiving. Our Heavenly Father enjoys hearing His children say, thank you. That sounds so simple, doesn't it? When Jesus healed 10 lepers, only one returned to give Him thanks. You can find that in Luke 17:11-19. Do we find ourselves quick to ask, but slow to appreciate? The answer may come where we're already moving to the next worry or the next concern without ever stopping and saying, thank you for in this situation. You did resolve whatever it is or whatever happened. God, you were there and I appreciate it. This right praying is not casual or a formula. It flows from a heart and a mind aligned with Jesus. The closer your focus and alignment and relationship with Jesus is, the more you will draw near to Him, the less you will worry, because God has the answers. Right praying. From the Philippians perspective, having the single mind of Philippians chapter 1, we can give adoration, love, and respect. Having this submissive mind of Philippians 2, we can come to God with petition. Having the spiritual mind of Philippians 3, we can show thanksgiving. We must practice Philippians 1, 2, and 3 if we're going to experience the secure mind of Philippians 4. To sum up, don't worry about anything, but pray about everything, even the little things. Nothing is too small and nothing is too trivial. The second right is right thinking from Philippians 4 and verse 8. So keep your thoughts continually fixed on all that is authentic and real, honorable and admirable, beautiful and respectful, pure and holy, merciful and kind. And fasten your thoughts on every glorious work of God, praising Him always. Right thinking involves the peace as it affects your heart and mind. Wrong thinking leads to wrong feeling. And before long, the heart and mind are pulled apart, and we are strangled by worry. We are pulled in opposite directions, and it is such an unhealthy, uneasy, and we search for answers, and the answer is right there with Jesus. Take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. As those worries come in, take captive every thought. You can find this in 2 Corinthians 10 and verse 5. Paul shares in detail the things we ought to think about as Christians. And the list below begins with the right thinking, whatever is true. Satan is the ultimate liar. Satan wants to corrupt our minds with his lies. Satan approaches us just as he approached Eve in the garden. The Holy Spirit directs our minds through truth. In John 17 and verse 17 and 1 John 5 and verse 6. We must bathe our minds in the truth. Immerse our thinking in the truth. And Jesus and the things of Jesus, we can focus on that truth. Our minds become pure with that truth. Right thinking, the second or B, is whatever is noble and right, worthy of respect and right. That's what our thinking should focus on. What is noble and right? Right thinking, number C or letter C, is whatever is pure, lovely, and admirable. Those are the things we should think on. Pure. It probably refers to moral purity. Lovely. Our thinking is beautiful, attractive. And when we see beauty, it makes us feel good. It's a healing process. If we think on admirable things, those things worth talking about, they're appealing. It's a joy to share those. Right thinking also in the last one of letter D, whatever is excellent or praiseworthy. Those are the things that we should be thinking on. Excellent means virtuous. So whatever is virtuous or praiseworthy. Right thinking results from daily study and meditation in Scripture, the written Word of God, which reveals to us the living Word of Jesus. The third R, or right, is right living. Chapter 4 and verse 9. Follow the example of all that we have imparted to you, and the God of peace will be with you in all things. Right living. There is a relationship between outward action and inward attitude. If we know that we're doing things wrong, it affects us in a negative way. If our relationship is in a positive action, living in a positive way, our inward attitude changes. We feel good about ourselves. Right living leads to the peace of God, and that's where it all stems from, is from Jesus as he leads and lives in our life. As our lives are more fully aligned with the patterns of Jesus' right living, we experience greater levels of inner peace. It is one thing to learn a truth, but quite another to receive it inside, inwardly, and make it a part of our inner person. When we can learn a truth and it becomes a part of who we are inside, it is such a reward, such a blessing. We are called to learn the gospel, to receive it, to hear it, and do it. And that is the good news of Jesus Christ. This peace of God is one test of whether or not we are in God's will. If we are walking with the Lord, the God of peace exercises his influence over our hearts. Right praying, right thinking, and right living are three vital strategies for experiencing victory over worry. All three involve participating actively in the thinking and living of Jesus Christ, allowing him to live in you and guide you and lead you through those thoughts and away from those worries, and the peace that he has can be shared in your world. Thank you for joining us today. We look forward to an opportunity to hear from you if that is your desire. We would love to pray for you if you have a prayer request. Those can be brought to us through our webpage at gcderby.org. or Grace Communion Derby on our Facebook page. It is a blessing to live this life with Jesus leading us, and may he lead you all week.